Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Romanian churches at the Court of Appeals. We're going to be talking about the oral argument on faith and freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, just a few days ago, we were at the Federal Court of Appeals with a three-judge panel in which we presented oral arguments. Now, this is on our request for a preliminary injunction against Governor J.B. Pritzker's unconstitutional executive orders that discriminate against churches. The real question was really twofold. One, is the case moot? And two, the merits of the First Amendment case. Now, on the first one, the question is the case moot? Meaning, in legal terms, is there any more controversy that the court needs to decide?
And that's because he stopped all the restrictions, right? Right before the Supreme Court hearing. So he had to stop those. So the question is it moot?
What else do they need to address?
Right.
And so, yes, within 3-4 hours of having to respond to the United States Supreme Court when we petitioned to the U.S. Supreme Court for an injunction pending appeal, Governor J.B. Pritzker removed not some, but all of the restrictions on churches across the board. He went from one of the most restrictive states in the country to the one of the most free states in the country as it relates to churches.
So you think, okay, that's what we wanted, but without a judicial decision, he could just as easily reverse that, right?
Exactly, and that's the problem. And so when you have a government entity that's sued based upon some law, or in this case, an executive order that you're challenging under the Constitution, and then they change that, the question is the case moot? Do you still have the need for the court to intervene? And the answer to that depends upon whether the state, in this case, the governor himself, who actually is different than a legislature, because it takes a bigger effort for a legislature or, say, a city or local government council to pass something and have it signed into law. For this governor, it's just him. Mm-hmm. He creates the orders and he changes the orders at will. So the question is whether or not the state, in this case the government, has basically given assurances that he will never return to that previous unconstitutional order.
We don't trust that he won't.
No, and so the oral argument really underscored the fact that he has no intentions of making that assurance to the court.
Right out of the mouth from his assistant attorney general.
Yeah, here's what one of the judges said. The judge said, as the after the assistant attorney general began her argument, after we presented our opening argument, before we had our rebuttal, one of the judges actually questioned, this was a senior judge on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, said that he was concerned about the governor, how he just simply removed the restrictions. Mm-hmm. Because before that, he was talking about how the restrictions were going to be on these churches for up to 12 to 18 months. Just, he removed them. So here's his question. Is the governor willing to make an ironclad commitment not to rescind the current order, which allows churches to open and operate unfettered by government restriction? That's what one of the judges asked. Is he willing to make an ironclad commitment not to rescind the current order? And the current order, of course, removes all the restrictions on churches only, not on anything else.
Which is a great question, exactly what we'd loved to hear.
Yeah, and the answer was, by the assistant attorney general, not, oh, well, I need to talk to my client, didn't hem or haw, didn't give a general answer, but said, no, Your Honor, we are not. I mean, that was like the perfect answer for the fact that we argued the case is not moot. But it wasn't over then. Later in the same argument by the assistant attorney general, another judge asked another question. Would you be willing to agree and to say that you will not enforce or go back to the original order without coming to this court to seek permission? Again, the assistant attorney general Gupta responded, quote, we are not willing to do this at this time, close quote. And that's exactly what we needed.
Yeah, those judges asked great questions. Praise God.
Those two colloquies right there between the question and answer is all you need.
Right.
And that gives us, I believe, a very solid win on the mootness case. And that now gets us to the merits of the case, because it's very clear that the governor, he had, even in the order in which he rescinded the restrictions on churches, he still said all the scary things that are possible for the orders to be reimposed. And so he hasn't disavowed his unconstitutional way. In fact, he has defended it. And he won't commit to saying he won't return to that order. And he won't commit to say, I'll come back to the court if I have a change of mind. So on the mootness issue, I think it's a clear win. Then we go to the First Amendment issue, to the merits of the case, which is really obviously what we want to deal with. Now, we pointed out something that they didn't have a good response for, and that is this. In addition to the fact that you've got lots of people going to the big box centers, the liquor stores, the Walmarts, Kmarts, Lowe's, Home Depots, all those stores, jamming them, and the employees are there with contact of people 8 hours a day, hundreds and hundreds of people come by, and they're in contact all day long. In addition to that, where they allow those gatherings, and then they restrict churches to 10 people, there's something in the order that they weren't really prepared to address. And we, I think, caught them off guard with this, and they didn't have a good response for it. And that's this. And it really shows that there is a religious hostility by this governor against churches. And that is this. There's a provision in the executive order that says churches, or any nonprofit for that matter, they can have non-religious meetings with an unlimited number of people if they want to feed them, shelter them even overnight, and or give them the necessities of life. Now, it doesn't say what the necessities of life would be.
So they could do all this inside the sanctuary, no limit on people.
No limit on people.
Okay.
So you could have 500, 1,000 people. It doesn't matter. You could have them all sitting at the same tables, different round tables, feeding them with no distancing, no limit on the number of people. You could not only feed them in the evening, but you could then bed them down for another 8 hours.
In the sanctuary.
In the sanctuary, wherever you want, in an auditorium of the church, in the gym of the church, wherever you wanted to be able to put these people.
Wow.
You could house them. You could then, in the morning, if you wanted to, you could give them instructions on how to fill out unemployment benefits or maybe federal loans if they're small business owners, or just give them some general other, quote, necessities of life, whatever that is. But as soon as the pastor would say, we want to bless this meal, or we want to have a 15-minute devotional, time of worship. We're going to have some song, and I'm going to preach a short message, and we're going to have prayer. We're going to have a little worship service for this group of 500, 1,000 people, unlimited number of people that are having their meal or that are bedding down for the night. What do you have to do? What happens? What does the order require? You have to kick out everyone except for 10.
Unbelievable.
Because as soon as you switch over to a religious service, the 10-person limit kicks in.
Now, that's blatant discrimination.
Yeah. And so when we brought that up in the...
So the AG wasn't prepared for that, was she?
No, we brought that up in the opening argument. And then during her argument, one of the judges asked about that provision. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, you can actually still not be in close contact with these people. You can go in and put food on their table and walk away.
Like throw it at them and walk away.
What about the people there? I mean, yeah. What are we talking about? It's not just the church employees. It's the people, right? So if they have a real concern for a number of people gathering together, why do they have no limit in the same building, in the same sanctuary, to have non-religious meeting, food, shelter, counseling for necessities of life? But as soon as you have a religious service, a worship service, now you drop down to 10.
And these are the same people that go to Walmart would come here.
Anybody, yeah. So, I mean, that right there, they had no good answer for that, no good answer for it. And that is a clear indication that what they're targeting is religious activity, the religious church services, and that is unconstitutional. Continue to pray for this case. We'll get a ruling on this soon, and we'll let you know the outcome. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.